This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Every now and then you can find a self-storage facility that has some upside left on the table, but you got to be able to recognize it when you see it, and you've got to have a strategy to get it. Let me share with you a project we did and the four steps I use to revitalize a self-storage facility. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get in the self-storage business or wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. You can also find out about an upcoming self-storage boot camp, live virtual boot camp that I'm offering in January. This is designed to take you from wherever you are right now all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. But let me share with you the four things I did on one particular project that made a huge difference and allowed us to capture some of the upside that I saw on a self-storage facility. Now, this is one where we didn't add a square foot of self-storage. Let me share with you kind of the history of this particular project. So I saw a facility that by all appearances appeared to be doing pretty good, fairly well. I've seen and purchased some that were in a lot worse condition. But I saw this project had slightly below street rates, had about 84.5% occupancy, and it had a delinquency ratio of about 6.5%. Not too bad by all standards. But this was a big project. It had 102,000 square feet in acres of parking, and which the acres of parking had over 60,000 square feet generating parking income. So a slight movement, given its size, could create a lot of movement in the net operating income. Now, we've purchased storage facilities where the delinquency rate is closer to 30%. But this one wasn't all that bad. But I saw that there was a lot of upside left on the table from the current owner. The daily close from the current owner and their operating system, here it was after the month that we closed on it. So you can see in the month of January, they brought in about $78,858. They had about $7,000, $6,800 in receivables. They were at about 87% physical occupancy, about 84.5% economic occupancy. But what was striking was their net operating income for the previous year was about $425,000. As I looked at the numbers using their current rent structure, here's what I saw. Gross potential income about 1.3 at an 88% economic occupancy, and I wouldn't buy it unless I thought I could get to at least 88% economic occupancy. And an operating expense ratio of about 40%, I saw that the potential for the net operating income was $686,000. If my calculations were correct, at a 7 cap, when I hit the 88% economic occupancy of 40% operating expenses, that day it would be worth $1.6 million more at a 7 cap. So we went to work looking at why their NOI was low. And it was a function of their operating expenses and how they manage the facility. So the first program we designed during the due diligence phase was to set up procedures for starting the auction process on the delinquent units the day we close. Now, we've done this before, and often we'll have 20, 30, 40 units going. This time, I think there were around 15 units, 12 to 15 units that were slated for auction. And our process, our procedure is when we close, if there's a manager there and that manager appears to be pretty good, very often different ownership creates a different culture, and a manager that works well in one culture doesn't necessarily work well in the other. But we typically, if we think the manager's good, we'll give them, put them on a 60-day trial basis. And we told that manager, no more payment plans, don't accept any money from anybody unless they will pay 50% of what they owe. If they do, inform them that they will take it, will void the lease, tear it up. You can tear it up in front of them if you want, and they have 24 hours to get out of the facility. If they don't pay at least 50%, we're going to auction. To the best of my memory, I think we had three people show up and pay the 50% and leave. The rest went to auction. We ended up with about 3.5% more vacancy from doing the auctions. But I liked it because it gave me a chance to see how quick they would rent up, how the market absorbed the price, and if there was an opportunity to raise the price. So that was strategy number one. Auction delinquent units, people who are slow pays or not paying, get them out and get those units back into production. The second phase of our four-phase strategy, and we did this during the due diligence period, was to design a capital improvement plan. Now, there wasn't anything elaborate. We weren't adding more space. I wasn't replacing all the roofs. What we did was repair the roofs. We painted the buildings. We especially painted the office because it was real industrial looking, and we softened it up. We remodeled the office inside. We added landscaping, and we upgraded the camera system and then put flat screens in the office behind the manager's new manager desk that showed where all that showed the camera shots. So when people were renting units or in their came into the office, what they'd see would be the screenshots of all the cameras. We didn't have to say much, but it created the impression of security and safety. We only spent about $65,000 doing everything in that large facility. The third phase was we started adding other income streams. And we did that immediately. The first thing we did was they had a truck, branded truck, that they let people use for free. Nothing wrong with that, just not our strategy. The very first thing we did is we sold that truck, and I used that money to help fund the capital improvement campaign. Then we brought U-Hauls in. The first year we were open, we did over $28,000 in U-Haul commissions directly to us. That literally funded somebody to do nothing but manage the U-Hauls, help on the maintenance, and it really improved immediately the net operating income. And by the time we sold that project 7 years later, we were earning over $60,000 a year in U-Haul income. Now, that facility had expressway exposure. It's probably the largest U-Haul income facility I've ever had, but that sure beats a free truck. Next, when we remodeled the office, we put slat board up and started selling retail items. Our first 12 months, we sold over $10,000 in retail items out of that store. By the time we sold it, we were 12-8. Then, we didn't do this immediately, but we started implementing tenant insurance and then started making it mandatory. And by the time we sold that project, we were earning over $20,000 a year in tenant insurance. So we had a plan before we closed on the property to auction the units. We had a plan in place, a capital improvement plan, before we closed on the property to start executing the day we closed. We had a plan in place to add some extra revenue streams. And the last thing we did was price increases. Once we completed our capital improvement campaign, we started implementing pricing increases. Now, we didn't go crazy with this, but we got the people who were below the street rate up to the street rate. This was before dynamic pricing was as big as it is now, but we got people paying the street rate. Then we started raising the street rate. Over the course of the time we owned that property, we averaged a 5%. Actually, it was north of 5, but a 5% on average per year price increase in that facility. When we sold that property, we were generating $1.3 million of income per year in that facility. That was a 51.09% increase in the income from the day we bought it. That was there the day we bought it. We increased the net operating income from the year before we bought it. What their NOI was, we increased it $325,000. And we were really fortunate because during the time of our ownership, there was a lot of compression on cap rates. Cap rates started going down. We were getting unsolicited offers all the way through our ownership. But when the offers started going south, you know, 6%, 5.5% or so, we decided it was time to sell. We bought that property for $6.5 million, and when we sold it for $13.5 million. We sold it for 48% more than we purchased it for. Now, there was nothing extraordinary about the four steps that we implemented, but we've used those same four steps on multiple turnaround situations. Even when we're adding square footage, doing an expansion, we will, for the most part, employ those four steps. Not every project we've done has generated this much profit, but due to the size of it, a slight move in the NOI creates huge amounts of value. It takes a game plan, a focused strategy, and perhaps some grace from the universe to have the success that we have in the self-storage business in that project. But that plan is available to anyone. That's not a complicated plan to deploy. And you can see the kind of results that it can produce. This is one of the reasons I love the self-storage business. A simple plan for a simple guy can create that much profit. Only in self-storage. So thank you very much. I look forward to being with you next week. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'll see you then.